You're listening to Real Women Courageous Wisdom, hosted by Women for One truth teller, my friend and author, Kara Bradley. Real Women Courageous Wisdom is a podcast series featuring Women for One truth tellers, everyday women and kindred spirits passionate about sharing their journeys and inspiring others.
Welcome to Real Women Courageous Wisdom. I'm Kara Bradley. Today, I'm speaking with Tammy Steele. Tammy is the founder of Fully Present Living. She's got loads of stuff for us today, and I can tell you right now, you're going to want to listen. We have a great show for you, so welcome, Tammy. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here, and welcome everyone who comes on to listen. It's exciting to be here sharing like this.
It is. It's so much fun. I have the best job because I get to talk to all these amazing women from all over the world about just real life stories, which is so refreshing in this world of information. So, and thank you for being a truth teller for Women for One.
Oh, sure. You know, it's very, it was such a liberating experience to share in that way and to share so publicly. And I know that all the truth tellers come out with that one common element of just relief and community from having shared in that way.
Yeah, so. It is. It's amazing to press, I've said it before, the send button. And to send that blog out.
It really is. It's like, okay, here it goes.
Here I go.
And that's just the wash of relief that comes from that. And just being able to share and put it out there. And it's a very cleansing process.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about what you do to support women. I know, and men. I know that you you have a vast array of specialties.
Yeah, basically, my passion is connection, and not just connecting with others, which I love to do, and that's a part of it, but really connecting with myself and helping others learn to connect with themselves at this deep personal place that comes from being able to share your truth and be authentic and go to a place of knowing that no matter what's going on in your life, you can always come back to self and truth and authenticity and be okay. And in this world where we're bombarded with chaos and stress and, you know, our life's going on seemingly sometimes out of control, what do you do? How do you respond to that? And so many people become disconnected from themselves and they're not able to cope very effectively. And so I found in my own life that to be true. And so once I you know, kind of hit rock bottom, as it were, and figured out how to get out from there, I came out of it with, wow, I want to help other people do this. And the cool thing is that the universe had been giving me tools along the way. I'd been going to study different healing techniques, different personality types, this energy work, all kinds of things I had been studying along the way while I was creating this big mess in my life. And so, you know, it's like, okay, now I have to use these tools. And then when I came through it, you know, having some pretty significant success at using them, I was like, wow, I just want to share this with as many people as I can. And so I went and opened a healing practice and started personal coaching. And that's, you know, kind of the high, you know, the 10,000 foot view of what I'm doing.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing how, and it's such a common thread, we just end up being our own laboratory. It just happens every time.
It's so true. Yeah. My healing school instructor used to say, yeah, we want to be just a few steps ahead of the person that we're guiding so that, you know, so we can shine a light as we learn these things. And we want to have somebody ahead of us shining that light, just a few steps. And, you know, that's the relationship that I like to create with, you know, with my clients, my people, and that, you know, that they know that, you know, I'm there, and I have, it's not like I was born up with everything together. I still don't have everything together. Mm-hmm. And that's just a part of living and being human and finding joy all the time and going through it.
Yeah, I love that. That's really wonderful. I agree with you. You know, as a yoga teacher, oftentimes I'll have people ask me, you know, do you eat chocolate like every day? Absolutely. You know, it's like we all have to just let it go.
Exactly. It's like, oh, you're having wine? I'm like, yep. It's time for a little wine. But yeah, it's so true. We're bought into this frozen image of what's perfect and what's a perfect life, and we see so much, if, you know, in social media where people are presenting this facade almost, you know, it's always happy, and of course we want to share the happy times, but when you're an outsider sort of watching that, it seems like, wow, everybody's life is perfect but mine. And to be able to come to a place of understanding that, yes, that's their, the beautiful part of their life. There's probably also a messy part of their life. Mm-hmm. And to have those things, you know, just sit with that and say, yeah, it's all part of life, the messy and the beautiful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so what do we do? How do we manage all of these things? When we start to look at and compare ourselves to somebody else's Facebook feed, we start to judge ourselves, and that's the first step of disconnect, is when you judge. It's the first step of disconnect in a relationship too, or when you judge anybody, even if it's not, you know, somebody you just saw on the street, and you judge the way they walk or dress or anything like that, you're creating a disconnect. Wow. And when, you know, as humans, what we truly, truly want is connection. That is really what we're here for as humans sharing this human existence. It's to connect, but we're so confused about how to keep that connection. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is that. That's it in a nutshell, isn't it? I mean, it's and we're so deeply habituated to judge, not only from our own conditioning, but just societal conditioning. And so,
it's
what?
So true.
How do you support people in recognizing that?
Yeah. So one of the things that I teach is a communication workshop that's based on nonviolent communication by Marshall Rosenberg. Are you familiar with that?
No, but I'm writing it down because I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It was part of, I was certified to teach Perfect Health, which is an Ayurvedic lifestyle class that Chopra's center, Deepak Chopra has a center in Carlsbad, and I became a certified teacher through Chopra Center. And part of the Perfect Health program is this communication module, which is based on two books. One is Free to Love, Free to Heal by one of the co-founders of the Chopra Center, Dr. David Simon, who passed away a couple years ago. And then the other one is Marshall Rosenberg's Nonviolent Communication, which I then created a larger workshop out of based on those two books. And I use the nonviolent communication techniques not only to help people communicate with others and create connection and use judgment as a flag, because we're human, we're going to judge. And it's not about beating yourself up for that, because that's the other piece, right? We're our own worst critics.
Yes.
And we create judgments in our head, and then we're disconnecting from ourselves. But to use it as a flag, oh, wait a minute, what's this judgment about? And as soon as you then step into it, you understand, oh, that's not really what, you know, I don't want to create a disconnect. I want to create a connection. Where's our common ground here? And I just have found that book and the techniques in that book to be so useful across the board when I'm working with clients who have a negative voice in their head, who are having struggles in their relationships, to really look at the Marshall calls them the 4 D's of disconnect. There's, and now I don't even remember what the D's were that I said that, but there's judgment, there's blaming, you know, so if you blame somebody else for your circumstance, that creates the disconnect. If you believe you have no choice, that creates the disconnect. And these kinds of things are so pervasive in especially in our American lives, you know, what we're taught. We're taught to differentiate instead of find commonality. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the book does a really great job of getting people to step into observation, get out of reaction, and to really start to look at what are our fundamental emotional needs. Yeah. And how do we create happiness? And how do we ask for things that give us happiness? Because the other thing that we're really disconnected from is our own needs. And I find that to be especially true for women. For whatever reason, men are a little bit better at saying what they need. Yeah. They're probably, you know, maybe mentored to be more upfront about that. But women are generally taught to put their needs aside and meet everybody else's needs. And we don't, many women that I start to work with, and I ask them, okay, so what are you needing right now? That's a foreign question almost. It's like, well, God, I don't even know what I need. And then I'm like, it's okay. Don't panic. Yeah. You do have needs, and we're going to figure out what those are. Yeah. And so again, getting back to the book, it does a really great job of correlating feelings with needs. Mm. And so when you're having a feeling, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, it's based on whether a need is met or not met. Mm. And so we start there. We start with, let's start looking at your emotions and talking about what those emotions are. And then let's look underneath those and find out what those needs are. Mm.
That's great. It's really great. You know, it's interesting in all the women that I have interviewed for this podcast series. Almost every single one has kind of developed their own skill from their own passions based on the absence of something. Let me put this a different way. So oftentimes, you know, we have these crises in our lives and we're kind of down on the floor and we look around and we're looking for help, perhaps, or, you know, we're so distraught and we're looking out there for some support, but there isn't exactly the support available immediately that we're looking for. And so when we start to come out, the phoenix starts to rise, then we find our voice, and then that's what we end up supporting people with filling that gap. The gap of the,
so true.
I don't know if I said that well, but I know what I'm saying, but I'm not so sure if it came out so well.
No, I think you've got it right there. It's once we start, and to say it a slightly different way, once you start to find that voice, find that power, find your needs and the power to get those needs met, now all of a sudden you know how to fulfill yourself, so then you can share with everybody else, right?
Yeah.
And we want to be able to articulate our needs in such a way that we're likely to get them met, but that we articulate it in such a way for ourselves that there's not just one way to get that need met. Mm-hmm. Like, what if that person or that situation can't meet that need? Mm-hmm. We want to be empowered to find another way to have whatever that need is met. And then, woo, all of a sudden, now I have my needs met. Now I can help you meet your needs.
That's right. Can you give us a couple of examples of what some of your clients have come up with, or what you have discovered as some of the needs that you needed at the time?
Yeah, so most, I would say that, you know, kind of there's the higher, you know, like at the high level, we all need acceptance, appreciation, acknowledgement, and attention. And so those are kind of how we start out with it, the emotional needs. Of course, we have our physical needs. We need safety, food, and shelter, right? But beyond those, we have emotional needs. And so when I'm talking about needs, I'm really talking about the needs that we have as a Western culture. Our shelter, safety, and food are generally, you know, for most people taken care of. And so then we look at our emotional needs. And attention and all of those things come from connection. And they mean different things to different people. And so when you, some people would say, well, they just don't appreciate me. Mm-hmm. It's like, what would that person do that would show you appreciation, right? Because for me, maybe it's just somebody just verbally says, thank you. Yes. Some other people need a handwritten note that says, thank you, right?
Yes.
And so to really start to, many people are just, first of all, disconnected from their own needs. And once we start to say, okay, when you're unhappy, it's a need not being met. Well, I needed appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
Like I cleaned up the house and no one said anything. Right. Or, you know, I came home and my son's sitting there watching TV and the dishes are in the sink. And I've told him 1,000 times and he just doesn't listen. And, you know, so you start to say, well, what would you say to him? Because he doesn't have the same needs as you. And he, you know, and so... it's like, what? He should just know, you know, and that kind of thing that you get in male-female relationships a lot is, well, I shouldn't have to tell him what I need. He should just know. And it's like, well, you're not even really able to tell yourself what you need.
My goodness.
How is he supposed to know? Yeah. So it's that kind of common theme of, you know, everyone's needs are different. Most, you know, but we all in general need appreciation, affection, attention, and acknowledgement.
Yeah.
And so to really start at that high level, and that's where we start with everybody is, what does it look like for these higher level categories? And then we drill down to more specifics like, you know, what is connection like to you? Is it calling somebody on the phone or is it going out to dinner? Mm-hmm. What does acknowledgement look like to you? Do you, how do you make a difference in, you know, your work or the dog is barking? and to really look at specifically what are the actions that happen to help you know when that needs met. And then people start to have the light bulb come on and go, oh, wow, okay. There's a lot of power to be had here.
Yeah. So tell me about you. Let's hear from you as a real woman with courageous wisdom. Just to give us some examples, how do you define some of these A words, acceptance, appreciation, acknowledgement, and attention?
So let's start with, we'll just start with acknowledgement.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, acknowledgement can come in the form of just somebody even giving me eye contact when I'm talking, right? Or like you just did, you acknowledged that I said something, you shook your head, and that's kind of really enough for me. Others might, you know, want a more formal acknowledgement, like paraphrasing or something like that. Attention, you know, that kind of varies for me. Some days attention is just, you know, a smile or a wave. And that can be enough. And other days, I need a little more attention. Maybe I need to sit down with somebody and spend some time. Maybe I need, you know, some physical attention. Maybe I need a hug or some sweetness from my husband or something like that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Acknowledgement, attention, appreciation. I generally am completely happy if someone just says thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't require a thank you note, and I do appreciate that others do. And so that's the other kind of thing that we need to remember is that if you know your friend likes a thank you note, make sure that you send them a thank you note.
Yeah.
You know, it's just because it's maybe not as important to me as it is to them. I'll do my best to appreciate them in the way that feels good to them. And what was the last one? Attention. Affection. And so affection, you know, for me is I like to touch. I like to hug. Other people don't like to touch or hug. Mm-hmm. Affection for them is, you know, conversation maybe or something like that. So for myself, you know, I'm very physical. I like to touch and hold. But I want to also be respectful of, you know, if that's not you wouldn't enjoy that, then I'm not going to ask that of you.
Right.
What about for you? What do you think?
So for me, acknowledgement is a big one for me. I think I like to look for ways to acknowledge other people. I kind of go out of my way sometimes. So I think I probably like acknowledgement. Not like big deal acknowledgement, but just even how you doing, how's this going, how's work going, you know, people checking in with one another.
So being interested in what you're doing and acknowledging that you're doing things.
that I'm doing things. And I think appreciation as well. I know, you know, I've worked through a lot of this stuff because it becomes so apparent what a waste of energy it is sometimes to get caught up in waiting for people to appreciate you.
Yes.
You know, and sometimes
that's
I feel
a good realization.
You know, I want as much energy as I can possibly have because I've, you know, like the rest of us, have a lot going on. So I've started to notice when I have unrealistic expectations of appreciation and acknowledgement and to kind of just catch myself. I catch myself a lot. Oh, she should have said this. It's like, you know what? That's such a waste of time for me to sit in that world. So let's just drop this, you know, kindly with love, right?
Right. Now, and just to kind of take it a little step further, sometimes there might be the opportunity to say, hey, I'm feeling a little, you know, overwhelmed right now. I it would really feel great to me if you could, you know, and you don't even have to say appreciate me, just say what you like about this thing I'm doing.
Right.
You know, that would just feel really great to me. And generally, because other people want to contribute to your happiness, if you ask it in that way, they'll be going, oh my gosh, yeah, I'm so happy for you. And to really accept that, even though you might have had to ask for it, to really accept it, because it's such a gift when you do ask for help from somebody and then they are able to reciprocate. It's a gift on both sides because our underlying sort of most people contributing to somebody else's happiness is the ultimate form of happiness. So if you tell them what's going to make you happy and they do it, woo, everybody can be happy.
Oh, that's a great, that's really great advice. That's really wonderful to leave our listeners with. If you can look to, can you repeat that one more time?
Yeah, it's our as humans, the thing that makes us the happiest, the underlying source of happiness for humans in connection is contributing to the happiness of others. And so if you're able to articulate what would make you happy to somebody who's in your life, and they're able to reciprocate that, then you both have that give and flow, you know, that receive, give and receive, because you've told them what will make you happy and then they've been able to give it to you.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful coupling.
And we have to be willing to ask for that is kind of the point of it all. Otherwise, we just kind of sit in our own like brooding.
Why didn't they thank me? Why didn't they thank me? Yeah. And that is, so often, people will say, well, if I had to ask for it, then it didn't mean anything. And that's so not true. And we really have to, if I could get that to be the last thing that anyone heard, just let that part go. If you ask for something and someone gives it to you, have a party, because that's beauty.
Yeah, that's connection, right?
That's connection. They heard you and they responded, and that's beautiful.
And that's all we can really hope for in our lives, is to have that open communication to expand our connection with others.
Yeah, find the places where it's blocked and open it up. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I didn't know that this was going to be a therapy session for me there, Tammy.
Oh, yeah. It was for me, too. That's the beauty of it.
Expose all. I've got a lot more to expose, trust me.
Yeah, we all, it's okay. We just expose a little at a time. Sometimes more, sometimes less.
Well, we could go on and on, I'm sure, with all these A's and D's and all this fantastic information and work that you've done. You seem to have a great deal of experience in just guiding people along the way with this. So so for those of you listening, you can find more information about Tammy, not only on the Women for One site, but also on her website, fullypresentliving.com. And I understand, Tammy, you have a blog there and lots of other great stuff.
I do. I teach classes online and in person, and I'm available for coaching, and all of that information is up there. And I so appreciate you sharing time with me today. Mm-hmm. It's a great thing that you're doing. I know you love your job, and I love mine too.
Yes. Well, wonderful to connect with you. So happy we connected with all of you listening. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and we will catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to Women for One's podcast series, Real Women, Courageous Wisdom. If you like what you just heard, we hope you will subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and leave a review. If you're interested in becoming a Women for One truth teller, visit womenforone.com to learn more. For more information about our host, Kara Bradley, visit her site, karabradley.net. Join us next time for another enlightening conversation with powerful everyday women.